Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and you're listening to our edition of The Gathering. It's an on-air afterlife discussion group. Tonight's topic is going to be
recognizing signs and communication from spirit.
Signs and communication from spirit, and I think with that broad brush, we'll talk about experiences as well as signs, I think. Before we get going, by the way, if you'd like to share signs during the show, feel free to give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. Tonight's show is sponsored by L&R Productions, and you can find them on the web at LandRProductions.com. Fran, want to tell us what's going on?
Oh, we got a lot of things going on, so buckle down and listen. We've got our Visa credit card. As always, we'd like you to go to our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org and sign up for the Visa credit card. When you do, Visa makes a donation to us, and every time you use the card, Visa makes a donation to us. So that will keep this radio show on the air. And while you're shopping with that new shiny credit card, you can go to Amazon.com by using the link at Forever Family Foundation. And again, a portion of your spending, without you spending any additional money, goes to support our programming. And if you don't see what you want on Amazon, go to iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and shop away in their over 900 stores. And again, a portion of the spending comes back to support our work. Our Holidays Pass raffle is up and running. You got to be in it to win it. You can win up to 5 medium readings with Samara Angelet, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Anlo Cicero, Stephanie Ann Stevens, and or Neil Zapowski. It's $5 a chance. Go to our website for instructions on how to purchase your chances and how to save money by buying a lot more chances than just one. Our 5th annual Afterlife Conference, Is There Chocolate in an Afterlife? It's slated for November 12th, and our key speakers are Dr. T. Lee Bauman, who will present scientific evidence of an afterlife, and Lloyd Auerbach, who will present paranormal phenomena and the implications of an afterlife. We'll also have medium presentations by both Teresa Caputo and Angelina Diana. If you're arriving the night before on the very special spiritual date of 11-11-11, our annual fundraiser Night of Mediums will be in full swing starting at 7 p.m., where you'll be served a scrumptious dinner, and after dessert is placed on the table, your own medium will come join your table at 12 for a few hours of spirit communication just for your group alone. So go to the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, make your reservations. Those tables are limited seating. We only have so many mediums that are going to be coming in, so that will dictate how many seats are available. Moving on to December, we have Holidays Pass this year in 3 locations. On December 3rd, we have Joanne Gerber at the Best Western Berkshire Inn in Bethel, Connecticut. On December 10th, we have Angelina Diana and afterlife advocate Dave Kane at the Hampton Inn Boston Natick in Natick, Massachusetts. And on Saturday, December 17th, we have Teresa Caputo at the Melville Marriott in Melville, New York. And I think that wraps it up for me.
Okay. And I guess we'll get right into our topic. You know, when we talk about signs, we're talking about, obviously, signs of from an afterlife, after death, you know, communication and experiences. And I think we would all agree that many signs are kind of subtle in nature. You know, they're not, they don't always hit you over the head like a ton of bricks, although some experiences do. So I know we at the foundation constantly get asked by people that call, and they say, well, I just had this experience, but is it real? You know, that sometimes people wonder, is there there's a fine line between wishful thinking and, you know, really spirit communication. So, I mean, would you agree, you know, Tom, that signs are subtle in nature? What advice would you give to somebody if they said to you, well, is this real? This happened to me. Am I making this up, or is it real?
Well, first of all, to answer your first question, yes, I believe the signs are subtle. And I think that's where a lot of people get into trouble with this, looking for signs because they're looking for their loved one to materialize in front of them, or, you know, the burning bush or something like that,
right.
The sky to open up and you know, somebody to reach down and talk to them, and it just doesn't happen that way. You know, it's a two-way process, and it's just as difficult as it is for us to visualize or listen to the other side. It's difficult for the other side to manifest itself in ways that we can understand. So they can do it in subtle ways, whether it's to short-circuit the mind of a bird that will fly in, for whatever reason, fly into your pathway and land in front of you. So it's very subtle. Coins on the ground, feathers, butterflies, things like that. And the important thing is that if you see something and it makes you think of your loved one, then it's a sign. You know, maybe they didn't put it there necessarily, maybe they did, but the very fact that it brings that person into your mind, renews them in your heart, is definitely a sign.
Right. Well, I would agree with that. In that category of subtle signs, I mean, you've touched on a bunch of them. Some people tell us about signs that are simply thoughts pop into their head. It's not something that they were ordinarily be thinking of, but all of a sudden they're thinking of this, and they're wondering whether this is a telepathic communication from their loved one. I mean, that's something. Fran, you've experienced that, have you not?
Telepathic communication,
yeah.
Loads of them, to
yeah.
The point where I'm kind of looking around the room to see where it came from.
Right. And then again, how do you discern whether or not that's coming from somebody living or somebody dead?
Or if I'm in a room by myself,
right,
and nobody else is around, I'm going to conclude that it's coming from somebody in another dimension.
Well, why couldn't it be from somebody across the United States? You know?
Oh, I say, oh, that kind of telepathic
yeah.
communication.
Yeah.
I follow you.
Yeah, I mean, if there's some evidence tied to it. I mean, if you were thinking of a deceased loved one in some specific fashion, and then that message comes in, then you would, I you know, if it happened to me, then I'd think, well, you know, that's very likely from my loved one, but you know, because you were thinking of it, and it's sort of like asking and receiving, right?
Right.
But
and that's what they say: ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. And how about, you know, dreams? I think dreams could be put in two categories: a subtle category and a powerful category. Sometimes you might have a dream where a deceased loved one is just there for a fleeting second, and sometimes you could have a dream, the true, what we, you know, talk about dream visits, very powerful, tactile, you know, sensory filled, and talk to your loved one and hug and kiss, and that's powerful, you know, that's a powerful experience. Is it a sign? I consider that, you know, a sign. It's a powerful experience. So a lot of these things that we talk about can be, like, in both categories, and we'll go down the list. But, Fran, did we have a caller on the line?
Yes, we do. We have Carol from Port Washington, New York.
Hey, Carol? Hi, Carol. Okay, I don't know if Carol's with us.
Okay, let's see.
If Carol's not with us, it might be a good time to go to our break and come back and get some callers on the line.
Well,
but in any event, what about if we're talking about subtle signs? We talked about telepathic. Could that be considered the same as hearing voices? You know, sometimes you hear a voice, you don't know whether, obviously it's not somebody, I shouldn't say obviously, but often it's not somebody speaking out loud, but yet you hear a voice. So that's what people who have experiences, like near-death experiences, talk about, you know, telepathically. But Melissa, have you ever smelled an odor that you associated with a deceased loved one? That's a common one.
I know. And, I'm very much aware of that being a sign, and I cannot say that in my recollection right now that I have experienced that, but I do recall thinking of that it must be a sign from spirit that I'm not fully recognizing when I'm suddenly, maybe in my car driving, and suddenly smell something very floral.
Yeah.
The windows may be up, and so it's, and you know, it's not coming from inside the car all of a sudden.
Right.
And it makes me think, who's that? But
yeah.
I cannot say who I fully identified it with. My grandmother always wore Estee Lauder perfume.
Right.
But and she in fact had a drawer in her one of her dressers. Maybe she kept it there because I just clearly remember opening that drawer and the waft of aroma from the perfume coming out. But you know, Bob, when you were talking about communication, I did want to ask you what you thought of this. Many years ago, I used to have a very hectic schedule of being a baker, and I, you know, literally time to bake the donuts, and I would have to get up at 4 a.m. to bake. Because I was exhausted, I would, you know, lay down on the bed because it was the middle of the night, and on at least two occasions, the phone rang, waking me up into a panic, like, oh my goodness. Now I'm saying time to get up. It was even worse than that. Something was in the oven baking.
Right.
The phone rang. Nobody was there. It would be 4 o'clock in the morning. But it got me up to go save the cake that would have burnt.
Oh, you think you had, you might have help?
I did.
The baking angels.
I did. I attributed it to my great Aunt Polly. And if it was another spirit, forgive me for giving Polly the credit. I can't think right now what. I guess I thought Polly would be most concerned if I burnt something. But actually, my grandmother, Till, on my father's side, was more of the baker. So maybe it was her.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty unusual. Usually when the phone rings at 4 in the morning, it's not good news. So that's interesting. Although I know that you were such a good baker that now I'll admit it, Tom tipped me off that you were baking. So I was just calling to see if it's bread. You know, but along with, I know, Tom mentioned some other signs, you know, like coins or animals. And that's probably the most common type of occurrence that people describe, you know, rainbows, you know, butterflies, unexplained, you know, sounds. And I guess, you know, the theory would be, I mean, not so much that their loved one is somehow reincarnated, you know, into the squirrel or a butterfly, but that they were sent, you know, by, you know, spirit to get your attention. You know, I mean, who's to say that, you know, spirit can't, you know, manipulate the appearance of certain, you know, things of matter and animals, you know, so.
When you mentioned that about the rainbow, two summers ago, Tom's niece had gotten married, and right before the wedding ceremony, the skies opened up, and it was an enormous thunderstorm, and we all had to quickly move inside. But later on, during the wedding reception, suddenly somebody noticed that the sun was out and there was a rainbow in the sky. But not only that, there were two rainbows. And not too much earlier than that date, Tom's mother had a reading with one of the mediums, and she had said, look for the rainbows. So his mom at this wedding was overjoyed because she felt that
her husband was attending the wedding also, and she was telling everybody. So it gave her such joy
yeah.
on this special occasion. And I, you know, that's the biggest thing, I think, with signs. Who cares if it really is or it isn't from spirit? It makes you think of them, makes you feel fantastic. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well.
Well, it makes you feel better if you know that it is.
Well, I mean, yes, I mean, and obviously we're couching our conversation here with a skeptic in mind who thinks all of this is bunk, and that's what I would say to a skeptic is, if it brings you joy and it gives you healing, then it doesn't matter. However, as Melissa's story pointed out, a medium told us, look for the rainbows, and we saw a double rainbow at my father's granddaughter's wedding. So that,
yeah,
the believers, that's right on the money.
Yeah, and before we go to a call, I mean, I think it's important to mention that if you don't believe in an afterlife, or you don't believe that it's possible for communication, you rest assured you'll never get a sign, you know, because you'll never recognize
right.
it. Not that others aren't trying, but you're just totally shut down to that.
Well, I think I might disagree with you, but let's take Carol from Port Washington, and let's hear what she has to say.
Okay.
Carol, are you there?
Hello, Carol.
Hello?
Hello. You're on...
am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I was actually hoping that my mom from Bayside was on the line, but I think, I don't know, she somehow didn't call in because... she's the one who really has a lot to say about this and about experiences that she's had, I less so. But she actually is able to see people or spirits come through her apartment.
Wow.
Both of my daughter, a little girl, Brittany, and her grandfather, my mother's husband, my father, have come to her on a number of occasions. They don't speak with her, but they show themselves to her.
Mm. Yeah,
Brittany's actually come out of a picture throwing a kiss to my mother.
Oh, wow.
So it's very interesting. But, you know, my mother's not frightened by this. She can see these things, and other spirits have come through her apartment, those that she doesn't know. Other people that she doesn't know.
Hmm.
And I think it'd be good for her to sort of hone her skills, you know, if there was a way for her to sort of to do further communication or get them to speak with her.
Well, it's interesting that not only, you know, are loved ones able to, you know, make themselves appear to your mother, but people that she doesn't know. Has she ever been able to identify the ones that she didn't know? You know, later
well,
on.
Well, there was. We kind of discussed it. Two of them. One person, which is the first time the person anyone had come through to her. She definitely. We figured out who it was, and it was not a relative, but somebody. You know, she definitely knew. And then there was a friend of hers as well. But there have been others where we just. We had no idea who they were, including probably a war hero, you know, a veteran walking through her her house, kind of passing through.
Right. Now, when your daughter came through, did she appear as the same age as she was when she passed?
Yeah, she was still a little girl. I mean, now she'd be a teen, but she was still a little girl, yes, and
yeah.
She definitely appeared the same way with wings, even in one instance.
Mm.
So it was it's very momentary, but she sees it, and it's very clear as day, and it doesn't really startle her so much. She just sort of accepts it that they're there, and she's even seen her run around the apartment like little energy running around,
yeah.
as if playing with her friends.
And I'm curious,
so
you personally, I'm sorry, You personally have not gotten any signs, or you have gotten something?
Not really. I mean, I once, maybe a couple times I've seen shadows, and one time I had this experience of static electricity where I was taking laundry out, and actually it was wet, and it hit against a tile floor, and yet it made this very loud noise of a firecracker. There was smoke.
Wow.
And just a very loud sound. It was all very visible, and I wasn't the only one who saw it. My son actually saw it as well. So I think that was definitely a sign from them, but I don't actually see them except maybe in my dreams. I wish I could. I had more communication. I sometimes feel, especially when my daughter's around, and I feel like sometimes she can answer things for me, but I don't actually see them. My mother can see them. She doesn't communicate with them, but she definitely sees them. That's why I was hoping she'd be on the phone, and she'd talk about it. I'll have to her being on the phone next time.
Yeah, perhaps some other time, but. You know, it's when you mentioned, well, you know, you did see her in dreams. I mean, that's pretty significant. You know, very few people report seeing, you know, apparitions, but, you know, it's evidently easier for spirit to come through in one's dreams. So that, you know, that's not something to overlook. You know, not everybody is able to see a loved one in a dream. So that's something.
No, I actually didn't overlook it. I guess it's just sometimes it's very frustrating because I don't always remember my dreams, and very often I don't. And
that's
so I sometimes wake up with the feeling, yes, she was in my dreams, and I struggle to remember what that was. But as I said, I was hoping my mother could hone her skills, because I understand, not even all psychic mediums, like, they don't necessarily see apparitions, right? A lot of it is in their head, or...
True.
Yeah. Carol, is your mother interested in developing her skills a little more?
I was trying to encourage her. I think she would be. I mean, I think she'd love to see them more often. She'd love to be able to speak with them. In fact, Fran, I even said to her that I thought you had had a conversation with your daughter, that you were able to see your daughter and talk with her. Isn't that true?
I saw her. I didn't speak with her when I saw her. Probably because at that moment, I wasn't convinced that it was her until after the fact.
Until after the fact. Well, I mean, this is the thing. Yeah, my mother, you know, she'd love to be able to communicate, to sort of hone those skills and to be able to see them, because other spirits are coming through now, and my father and Brittany not so much.
Mm. Yeah.
But she would love to be able to see them. I mean, I'd love to be able to see them. I wish I could. I could feel them around me, but...
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon. The, see, that's an interesting, you know, situation. I mean, how many people can see two, you know, loved ones? Mm.
And other spirits.
Yeah.
I think what's happening here is the mom is inviting, and she's not afraid.
Right.
And so there's no barriers at all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when I saw Bailey, my barriers were down that night, or that morning, I should say. You know, so it was easier to come through. And I think the art, particularly of a parent who has lost a child, that art of wishing and wanting really creates a barrier for them to get through, because they really need, like, this clear pathway, and it seems like her mom is providing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, before we touched on experiences, you know, that can be, you know, life-changing, you know, and powerful, and some of these things are in two different, you know, categories, but certainly... one thing that would fit into that category of a powerful experience would be a near-death experience. That's probably the most powerful of them all. It's quite common, but of course, it's still, you know, relatively small percentage of the population. But you know, the overwhelming majority of people that have a near-death experience, you know, change their lives and have absolutely no question. You know, we were talking about, is it real, is it not real? Ask somebody that's had a near-death experience, and there's no wavering there. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's 100%. You know, so how good is that when you don't question yourself anymore? You know, because let's face it, we all, you know, to a certain extent, I shouldn't say we all, but most of us try to chalk things up to coincidence. You know, when these subtle things happen. I mean, do you still do that, Tom, or are you?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah,
I certainly was of that nature, or you know, just going through life with blinders on and not even noticing the pennies on the ground and things like that. But now that, well, speaking of pennies on the ground, I was reading a book about angels and how they're here to help and they are around all the time. And as Fran mentioned earlier, it's all about opening up and asking for the help. So we were in an airport and I said, why don't you, give me something that I can latch onto? And no sooner had I read that, but I looked down on the floor under the chair, and there's some change on the floor. And then later on, we went into one of these. They have a little meditation room
at the airport.
And
that was Newark.
In New Jersey, and we didn't notice when we came in, but when we came out, there was a nickel on the floor.
It was a totally empty room, and the whole day was actually felt very spiritually charged because we were going to Arizona for a conference.
Right.
We didn't have to be there in a particular hurry, so when they offered to bump us and give us a free flight at another time, we said, sure, why not? Because typically when we're traveling, we're in a hurry to get where we have to go. So we had lots of time to kill, and that's when we sort of opened up to these other things. We wandered into this meditation room. We would never have typically done that. The room was deserted, and we sat for a while, and we noticed there was a roped-off area. I think maybe, and I don't know all the different religions, but maybe it's for those who have to, you know, kneel down at a certain time of day and pray, so they didn't want people walking in there. But that's where, as we left, this coin was on the floor. It hadn't been there when we walked in. It was a very small room. We definitely would have seen it.
Right.
But it was there when we walked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about it. I'd like to revisit something I said before where you said you'd debate me on that. and I think that you're right. Now that I think about it, when I said that if you don't believe in an afterlife, you know, or in any signs, you're never going to get one. I think maybe I should amend that. I was really referring to subtle signs. You know, in other words, you're not going to recognize, you know, things that such as the pennies and you know, like the butterflies. But the history is full of accounts that people that didn't believe in an afterlife that had profound experiences, seeing an apparition, you know, or having a deathbed vision or something along those lines. But I just think it's hard. You know, if I believe that when, you know, ashes to ashes, and when you're dead, you're dead, and I, you know, have a telepathic thought or a smell, usually I'm not going to pay any attention to that. So is that why you were going to challenge me?
Yes.
Okay.
Just because you don't believe, it just means that spirit has to try harder
right.
to get through.
You're getting the signs. You're just ignoring them or passing them off.
Right, so they have to come out with something that's really
right.
bang that you're going to say, okay, I did not take the spoon out of the drawer. How
right.
did the spoon get there?
Right.
Something really, really obvious.
Right. Yeah. Now, in another category of that I would put in powerful experiences would be EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, right?
If
it could be put in both categories as one of those things. If you get something that is not quite intelligible, you know, that would be more on the subtle side and maybe you wouldn't pay any attention. But if you get a message from an EVP that says clearly, I love you, or a specific message wouldn't you say that's another example of a life changer?
I think so.
And we've heard so many, you know, of those reports. So, and then, you know, we've talked a lot about these people that have deathbed visions. You know, that's fascinating. You know, when they, again, there have been people that didn't believe in an afterlife at all, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole family is, you know, is surrounding the bed, and it, and she, and the patient is talking to them. So that's another area that,
right. And again, I just want to add, that's, we like to say, oh, because when they're getting ready to cross over, they're closer to the veil, or when they're children, they're closer to the veil. But the reality is, their guard is down. They're opened up. Children, babies, they have no guard up. Mm. Everything is fine, so it's easy to get through. In the same way, when you're getting ready to pass, there's nothing there. You're at your end, and there are no boundaries up, and they can make their way through.
Yeah, dogs and cats, too. There's plenty of stories of, and if you're a pet owner out there, you ever notice that your dog or cat all of a sudden is looking at something in the room that isn't there or supposedly isn't there?
Yeah. Well, they could, you know, we have such, we see and hear such a small spectrum of sight, you know, and sound, you know, and the dogs and cats are much wider, so it makes sense that they can pick up things, you know, that we can't. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'd like to explore something we haven't talked about and how where mediumship fits into this, you know, subtle, powerful, both, you know. So we're going to take a break and stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. We're talking about recognizing signs and communications from spirit, as long as we're also talking about some experiences that may be powerful in nature as opposed to subtle. And on that topic, mediumship, where does that fit in? I guess we all have thoughts on that, and I think that it certainly straddles both categories. Sometimes people go to mediums and they get some information that may be true, but they still walk out, hoping and, but not quite convinced. And then other times they'll get information from a medium that knocks their socks off, and that also could be a life changer. So, Melissa, I'm sure you've experienced both.
I often listen to a recording of a mediumship reading I had back in 2006 when we were all, Bob and Fran and myself, were fortunate enough to go be a part of a spiritual retreat in the Bahamas, and I met with a medium there, and I still listen to that recording, and I do find it very comforting, and I do, as much of a believer as I am, some of the things I'm hearing and rehearing, I start to question and start to wonder, well, that was such a nice thing to say to me, but maybe that's a nice thing that a lot of people get to hear just because it makes you feel good. Also, something that struck me, and did right from the time the reading occurred, was that the medium was bringing up, it makes no sense unless I say what it was, something about drinking a toast in plastic glasses. And it didn't mean anything to me at the moment, and the medium wasn't really able to clarify it. And he wondered if there was some special event that happened around this time. And when I recalled that it was around the time of my father-in-law's birthday, and that was the spirit I felt like I was communicating with, instantly the medium said, that's it. That's what the plastic glasses are. You're drinking a toast. You're drinking a toast to him on his birthday. But all the other parts, why plastic? He made a point to say, plastic's pretty unusual. Why plastic? I'm not sure why plastic. And my father-in-law was not a drinker. He would not have been drinking a toast. He said it was, I can't remember if he described the beverage. But a few months later, after the reading, I was at a very special ceremony for my future son-in-law, and I walked into the room, and they were assembling plastic glasses to drink a toast to this fellow who had just presented his doctoral thesis. And it struck me instantly. I just felt like this warm glow over my whole body, like, those are the plastic glasses. So I felt, I don't know what to think of this. The medium gave me this information, which he tried to make fit in a different way. But I knew when I saw those glasses, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's what the spirit was talking about.
Well, because a lot of mediums will try to fill in the gaps for you, which is probably not a good thing. I mean, granted, if they gave you just exactly what they're hearing, it may not make sense to either of you. So you're both sitting there trying to make sense. And so that's something you have to watch out for mediums, is that if they give you too much information, they might be embellishing on what they're getting.
You know, I also want to say, because I know that we often have mediums listening to this program, and I think we might all agree, don't maybe try to interpret the sign. Maybe just tell us what you're seeing and let us try to interpret it. I don't think that's what they prefer to do.
I think most of the more attuned mediums will respond to you saying it doesn't make sense, or I don't understand. And they will then, and you could see a lot of the telepathic process taking place, but then they go back silently. They're asking for more information for this thing rather than them interpreting it for you. They're getting the interpretation or more information from spirit to give you, and that really is the right way to do it. And if it continues to not make sense to either one of you, well, then so be it. You've tape recorded the conversation, and like you say, when you walk into the room and you see those plastic glasses, boom, you get that warm feeling. You know that was the connection.
Yeah, and it's extremely powerful, a good reading. And yes, you should definitely record your readings, and that's one of those red flags. If a medium doesn't let you record, then they're... You know, you might be a little suspect, my mom went to several readings after my dad had passed, and one medium in particular that we had an hour-long reading with really got into depth about the family dynamic between myself and my two other brothers, and really getting into what was going on in their lives. And my oldest brother, who's he's a doctor, he's a PhD, he's neuroscience, so he's all about the brain and, you know, trying to explain everything, and certainly came in thinking, well, he has an open mind, but he was pretty well on the side of the fence that none of this is real. And after watching that reading, tears were flowing down his face, and I said, "So, how do you explain that as a doctor?" And he says, "Well, there really is no other explanation than that she's getting this information from elsewhere."
The only correction I'd make, which you'd probably agree with, is when you said that the medium was getting into the family dynamics. It was your father that was getting into
that. That's right. She was conveying. Absolutely.
We want to take a call.
Yeah, we have a call. We have Marty on the line from Miami.
Well, hi, Marty.
Oh, hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I was, I wanted to share a sign. I do get signs. My son passed away 5 years ago at 19 years old of an accident, and I do get many signs and so on and so forth, but this one in particular was amazing, and I thought you may want to hear it.
Please tell
one,
us.
Pardon?
Yes, please tell us.
One night, me and two friends, we were at a restaurant, and I was feeling particularly sad and melancholy that night. And we started talking about how my son Michael was so good at Legos. When he was a little boy, he was very good at Legos. I bought him his first set when he was about 3 years old and was ready to sit down with him and help him go through the diagrams and all that, and before I knew, he had already built it as a little boy. So all his life, he was what they call a Lego maniac anyway. So it was late at night. We finished dinner. We start to walk outside. The parking lot was very, very dark, and my son's favorite color was red. He always wore a red cap, red shirt, red and white. So we start to walk outside in the deserted parking lot, and I trip. But looking down, I don't know what I tripped on, sort of like a pebble where you turn your foot and you kind of say, what was that? So my friend bent down and picked it up, and it was a red and white Lego.
Oh,
ooh.
Wow.
I tripped over a red and white Lego. And
That's fantastic. Sorry you tripped, but that's fantastic.
If that's not a sign, I don't know what is, so I thought you may want to hear it.
Yeah, that's a high mom.
Yeah, big time.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think so. That was one of the strongest that I've received from him. I've gotten quite a few, but that was amazing. So I kept the Lego, of course. And,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. When those things happen.
But for it to be red and white,
yeah,
and for it to be a Lego in the middle of a parking lot in the darkness Saturday night was very odd.
Yeah, and of course we wonder how those things happen. You know, could it be that, you know, he put the thought in your head because he knew that the Lego was there, you know, or, you know, obviously he played a part in it. You know, did he
physically, mm-hmm. you know, or did he manifest, you know, this Lego to, you know, to appear? There's so many different mm-hmm. possibilities, but no matter what, the fact of the matter is he arranged it, you know. So
yes, that was amazing. So
yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I enjoy your program.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Talk to you again. Take care. All right. So, there's a perfect example.
I love that story
because
that's like smack me in the face with this Lego.
Yeah, because, you know, come on, it's red and white Lego, you know, so that's really kind of improbable,
it's an unusual,
you know.
Lego to begin with.
Yeah.
How many of us have...
I've never tripped on a Lego.
Yeah,
no.
Red and white.
I've never seen a red and white Lego.
And according to Jeff Kane, who has done some research in this, he says that red is the color of communication.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's significant.
Particularly
as well.
From children, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Red is the color from children on the other side.
Is that right?
There's another kind of sign or experience that we talk about sometimes. We haven't mentioned it tonight, and that's orbs. You know, a lot of people report, it seems, with, you know, more and more frequency, these orbs appearing, you know, in photographs, especially with the advent of digital photography. And, you know, it seems easier to capture orbs for some reason, plus, frankly, people are taking a lot more pictures because you take a 1,000 pictures and that cost you anything. You know, so, and again, you know, I think most people realize that, you know, some orbs are, you know, dust particles and moisture and dew and things of that nature. But then again, others certainly appear not to be. So, you know, the scientific end of it, you know, is yet to be determined. But it makes logical sense to me if we're energy and light, you know, that we remain, you know, light or photons, you know, from that other dimension. And what better way to make yourself appear? It may be hard or difficult to make your full body appear in a full-fledged apparition, but maybe it's easier to have this speck or point of light appear in an orb.
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up, because when I was listening to Melissa's story about the plastic glasses to toast, she, of course, came home from that. I couldn't be at this celebration, but she came home and was telling me about that. And, of course, she had taken pictures. And when we looked at the pictures, sure enough, there was an orb over our daughter's heart in the picture.
Hmm.
So, very well, it could have been my dad was there at the celebration and mm-hmm. telling the medium how far ahead of time, a year ahead of time, that he was going to be there.
Right.
And I just want to, isn't there also a photograph with an orb at your graduation from law school or your swearing in?
Yeah.
Again, your father,
an
orb on the heart. So this is something he's gotten down pat.
He's good at that.
He does well.
And he was a dancer, and at our daughter's wedding, there's the most spectacular orb right at her fingertips as she's on the dance floor twirling about. And it's as if he's holding her hand, or it's remarkable.
Yeah, I know I've mentioned on the show before, but I take part in a charity for fundraiser for the Hungry every year, which is a bunch of musicians get together and they do a night of Elvis songs. And the photographs from that are just jam-packed with orbs. So I guess Spirit enjoys
that Elvis? Elvis.
Well, the Elvis and Elvis fans.
Has not left the room.
I think Spirit likes music.
Well, that's definitely true. In fact, what I've read about orbs, and they say if you want to get orbs is go to weddings and that and take pictures of the dance floor with the music on, and that you'll be more than likely to find orbs.
Mm-hmm. And then skeptics will say that's because they're kicking up a lot of
dust and the crystal balls and all of that sort of thing. But, you know, I went to a photography class because I do some photography with my job, and he was doing a demonstration about cropping and that sort of thing, and sure enough there was an orb behind a woman. So I figured, okay, let's see and this guy was a 30-year photographer, and I said, you know, what is that behind her head? And, you know, he didn't say glare or light. He goes, oh, you can edit that out. <You know? laughs> And he didn't know. I mean, if you're into photography, you can definitely tell when there's a flash of light that's catching the lens and that sort of thing. An orb is happens where there isn't light, and you zoom in on it, it has a geometric shape, it has color. You won't find color in a flash, in sunlight. Well, can we rewind that? Of course, there's all colors in sunlight, but you know what I'm saying is that it's very different.
Right. In talking about orbs, we did, there is a wonderful documentary out on orbs that I know we showed in our afterlife discussion group, and it does come up with explanations for all the excuses. And it's an excellent, excellent video. It also teaches you how to call in the orbs before you're going to go ahead and take a picture.
Mm-hmm. And those were some pretty remarkable ones taken at night, I think.
Yeah.
Some were shown, and it massive amounts.
Well, you know, another question that people ask is, you know, is there a way that I can foster these signs, make them happen more frequently? And a lot of people give the simple advice of really asking, you know, that there's a response. Now, that could be in an orb. You could ask a loved one to appear, you know, as an orb. You can, with EVP, electronic voice phenomena, you could ask a loved one to make a recording, you know, on tape. You can ask a loved one before you go to sleep to come to you, you know, in your dream. For those that meditate, many of these signs appear to come to people when they're in deep meditation, you know, I'm not really involved in meditation, although I'd like to be, that makes sense, you know, before you go into a meditation, instead of saying a prayer to the universe, we'll say a prayer to spirit, you know,
I think that there's a three-prong approach to this that I've heard about, and it was in the Book of Angels that I read, and it's the important one is the third prong, and the first is that yes, you ask for it, you ask for it, and then secondly, you have faith that they can deliver this, and most importantly, third, when you see the sign, you have to acknowledge it and thank them for that. So, how do you get signs? You ask for the signs, as you say, and then when you do see the sign, say, that's it, that's a sign, thank you very much, and say I love you to your loved one, and say, yes, thank you so much, and I can see it now, and keep them coming. And they will. As Bob asked earlier, did I always believe in this, and, you know, did I always see them? And no, I didn't always see them, but now that I'm starting to see them, and now that I'm realizing that, yes, they are signs, I'm getting lots of them. I get almost daily something happens that I recognize as saying, okay, hi, how are you?
You encourage them like little children.
Exactly.
And they will perform the correct behavior.
I think the big picture, one of the main questions we ask is, you know, that people seem to want to know is, you know, how do I really know whether, you know, I'm imagining it or, you know, this is really happening, you know, from spirit. And I think the conclusion we've come to is that what you have to do is you have to be open to everything that happens and examine the whole body of evidence. Look at, you know, write them down, you know, remember them. It's not just one, you know, you can shuffle them off to individually to coincidence, but when you have a certain amount, then it comes down to, you know, logic, you know. You can logically get into the knowing just by looking at the body of evidence, you know. So it's not necessarily a faith thing. It could be a scientific thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter how you get there.
Is that like one of those late-night shows hosts? Where he does a bit where is this something or is it nothing?
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They put on little skits.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's nonsense. But when we see what we think is a sign, to question it and go, all right, just like Bob said, logically, what else could this mean?
Yeah. And Bob hit on something just there is writing it down. You know, the dream studies that people do, one of the things they do, and one of our callers talked about getting visited by her son and yet not remembering her dreams. And keeping a dream journal is another way to acknowledge that, look, I'm on the lookout, I'm open for this. If you come through, I'm going to write it down and I'm going to remember it. And then supposedly you get better at remembering your dreams if you keep a dream journal.
Also, the art of writing it down opens up that part of the brain
right. That
allows you to remember the dream.
And I guess that would work for just everyday signs in waking life as well.
And we don't know why some people never get any signs, you know. I mean, there are people that are open to it, but just lament that they never got. And it could be a lot of things, you know. It could be that their loved one, you know, is a more enlightened spirit and has moved on, you know, quicker than others, or maybe you're so fascinated with the other side that the last thing on your mind is to communicate
maybe
with the physical.
Maybe they're just waiting for the red and white Lego.
Yeah.
Out of the burn.
You know,
burn.
I don't get it.
And all of a sudden, boom, you know, so it doesn't mean you're not going to get it.
What about, because we spoke about coins, and Tom's mother always said she never got any signs, but this woman found more coins than I can tell you,
and she didn't
acknowledge them
right. As
any kind of sign. And even once in a reading, the medium said, your mother is leaving coins for you. Even after that. So is there a block?
Oh, sure. I mean, she was looking into 80 years of blocks. They would, you know, I mean, my dad actually appeared to her in a vision one night.
That she accepted,
and she was waiting for that again.
Right.
And we had to keep telling her, no, that was a lot for him to do. But it's not so much for him to watch for the birds, watch for the rainbow, watch for the coins, you know, but she wanted him. And
don't
ultimately, that's
just the way that it is.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly remember having battles with Fran, because I would have these extraordinary things that would happen that I wouldn't notice at all. And she would point them out. I would tell her she's crazy because it's just coincidence. But again, you know, the body of evidence, you know, after she would point them out, and then I started paying attention to them, and then they started happening, you know, more frequently, and then it moves you to that, you know, from that believing to the knowing. So we're about winding down. I know that you have closing prayer for the people that are ailing.
I'd now like to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, and all the people still affected by the tsunami in Japan. We also have our Gulf prayer. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf, by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was by Masuro Omoto back on May 9th, 2010. We're still praying for the Gulf.
Please remember that
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.